Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 98 of the Peak Israeli podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emilson, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And we are late as usual, slightly more late than usual, but we are here. And today we are going to be discussing some changes that came out this week about how tier sets are acquired, as well as talking about things like the unique weapons, like the unique healer weapon from the upcoming raid, and just like general PTR changes, some other miscellaneous Blizzard announcements.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Raid Racer too. So let's jump into it and we can sort of go through some stuff. So first up, which was sort of not in the World of Warcraft or Warcraft really area, but Blizzard did come out with an announcement of a new game, basically a new survival game for PC and console. They put out essentially a post on it. A lot of people were freaking out, like, oh man, new IP, but really, it seemed more like a job posting than anything else. Like, hey, we're recruiting to build this team. This game is still years away from being an actual thing. It seems like basically they got the old design doc, like the initial design document approved, got some money, and now they have, you know, some spots to hire some people. So cool that they're making new games. When was the last new game that they put out? Like
Overwatch.
Was it Overwatch? Yeah. So it's been a very long time, but
maybe Hearthstone Battlegrounds. It's kind of like, that's not really Hearthstone.
That's true.
It is kind of its own thing. So that probably, I would count that personally as a different game because it's very different from regular Hearthstone and it's more in depth than just like a Hearthstone brawl. So
that's true. That is true. So no, it's been a while since we got some new Blizzard stuff and even new IP in general, which it looks like this is going to be. So,
The only new IP in the entire time I have been playing Blizzard games has been Overwatch.
Overwatch, yeah. Yeah.
That's it. All their other IPs date back to the 90s at the latest.
Yeah.
So I don't understand people complaining about them using a new IP. Like, I understand maybe you like really like the Overwatch IP or whatever, but this is
Make new games. Make new games. So,
games this will be cool. In new settings, it's fine.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see what this comes out. But this is years away, so we have some time.
Yeah.
Next up is the raid race. So there is a raid race today. If you're listening to this live, it's at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, between Echo
right
and
when
Limit.
This ends.
Yeah, right. Hopefully, we end on time. and if you're listening to the podcast after the fact, you know, watch the VODs. But yeah, they're Emmett, Echo and Limit. Sorry, Echo and Liquid.
That's going to be hard to get used to.
I know, both L's. They are racing this afternoon through Sanctum of Domination. Each boss is going to have interesting affixes, and they're doing it for charity. They're basically supporting a charity. Actually, what's the name of it? It is called Rise Above the Disorder. Basically supports like mental health, things like that. So, definitely go check it out. If you want to donate. It seems like it'll be fun. Two of the best guilds in the world fighting bosses with, they say affixes, so I'm assuming some sort of like mythic plus thing, but we'll see.
They're doing adding extra things like constraints on the fight. I don't know what any of them are. I don't think they know what they are.
Gotcha.
But, you know, imagine something like on Fate Scribe, you know, they say you have to do the runes, you know, you have to mix up your runes. You can't just all go left.
Gotcha.
You know, even runes go right or something like that. That would be quite a significant challenge. Maybe they wouldn't do that one because it would be also quite RNG. But, you know, stuff like that, just adding extra things to the boss fights that they have to do, extra constraints.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So it'll be fun to watch. I'm probably going to turn it on and hang out and watch it for a little bit. So that's sort of the raid race, another thing coming up. And then I know you mentioned this in the opening, but there was a post on Wowhead done by Volk on the Genesis Lathe, which is the healer specific weapon. Basically, it's a healer weapon coming out of the new raid. that has an interesting proc on it. Basically, to at a high level, anytime you use a specific healing spell, and the spell changes depending on what class you are, the weapon will proc something fun and additional. What are some of the effects? Additional absorb effects, speed buffs, leech buffs, things like that, just depending on what health percentage your target has. And it's on a 40-second internal cooldown. So about every 40 seconds, you'll get one of these buffs. The weapon sucks. I wanted to bring it up here because I think this is an issue in a lot of design that Blizzard does with healers, is that the weapon effect is random, which is I think healers will always complain about random procs, because typically they will proc when we don't need them. I will tell you, this one contains a nice nice way of getting around that, where if the target is high health when this procs, the proc is a absorb shield versus a straight heal. And when they're low health, it's a straight heal. So there is some sort of mention of that. But again, it procs off for Mistweaver Monk, it's Enveloping Mist, which the weapon would then require you to cast this every 40 seconds. Typically, you're not casting Enveloping Mist other than during a Celestial. So it's an effect that, and you're only casting Celestials every 3 minutes. So it's sort of an effect that's going to go mostly wasted. The other thing, too, that they did to the weapon is they removed all its secondary stats. So it's just primary, int, stam, and then the effect. It's generally bad. Volk has the math in his in the article, so I suggest reading through it. But to be fair, it's actually worse than some lower item level weapons, depending on class. So it's actually a detriment to equip this, which is, I guess, so. And it's funny, when we were talking in the pre-show real quick, I mentioned most of these proc based weapons aren't that good. But and then I brought up the, what is it? Is it a glaive? Yeah,
the is a two hander from, no, it's a two hander. Well, there's three relevant ones that I know of that I can remember from Sanctum of Domination. There's Japheth from KT, which is both higher eye level. It's 259, so it's already pretty compelling on that. And it's got a proc. And the proc is optional. You consume other weapons to trade secondary stats for a proc. So it actually is a situation where, if for your spec the secondaries are better, you just keep the secondaries. So there are DPS specs where it is correct to keep the secondaries or trade only some of the secondaries for the proc. And then you've got, Blood DK, where it's basically you just max out the proc for raiding. It's just the best. And then, of course, there's Vein Ripper from Painsmith. Obviously, super, super good. And then there is the Jotungeier from the Nine, which is a two-handed agility polearm. And that one's bad. It's good, but it's bad. It's good because you can abuse a bug to weapon swap. If you had to wear it for the entire fight for virtually every class that could equip it, it would be worse than just putting on a lower eye level weapon, actually.
Gotcha.
So it is. But because you can weapon swap, you use it on pull for a huge stat proc, and then swap out of it to regular weapons. Or in my case, I swap from that to double heroic Vein Rippers.
Gotcha. Yeah. This highlights sort of some of the issue with some of these weapons, is that they're meant to be interesting things, and they're meant to be, for most people, interesting things you want to equip. But to be fair, in a lot of cases, I guess it's hit or miss. It's some of them are very good, some of them are just very bad, but there's never really a middling one, I feel like. And so the idea of these extra procs, I don't know. I wish they would do something like I wish from a healer weapon perspective, it became something you could control a little bit nicer, a little bit easier, right? Or just that something that became more a part of your general rotation. So the trigger spell in this case, it would be nice if the trigger spell was for a monk, Vivify, and then maybe reduce the power of the proc, right? Because you can spam out Vivify if you need to. So that would be one thing. The weapon itself in this current iteration is bad. This is after, by the way, they buffed it by approximately 400 to 500% on PTR. It's still bad.
I feel like they are in some ways like considering what happens if you optimized around it and not asking the question, is it worthwhile to optimize around it? Because yeah. that's like Jotungeir, if you have really good 3-minute cooldowns and you can equip an agility polearm, then it's good. But the problem is that none of the agility polearm classes have good 3-minute cooldowns. So it's not good. So like the only, I think the only agility polearm spec is that has a 3-minute cooldown, like a cooldown that is actually 3 minutes long, is I mean technically Brewmaster does, but it's not really. And then Feral Druid. But Feral Druid, last I checked, their 3-minute cooldown is really not very good. At least in BFA it wasn't. You ended up just like wasting a ton of energy. It was fine, but it was not like Rav or something like that. Like imagine if this were an intellect weapon and you put it on your boomkins and then they got like plus 10 bajillion secondary stats during their Rav window.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All over this. Yeah. So there's some level of like, if you could optimize around this, then it maybe would be worthwhile. But at least in the case of like Genesis lathe, it's really not worth optimizing around in its current state.
Right. Agreed. And it's not on one of the last three bosses. So item level already lower, which is annoying. So
I will say I would rather they just like leave the secondary stats on these, honestly.
So do I
they're fighting a losing battle when they remove the secondary stats from these weapons, because secondary stats do just so many different things. You know, if you're giving up haste on a weapon, suddenly your spells are slower. And that's like even beyond just, you know, whatever throughput you get from that, it impacts how things feel in a way that maybe if they're close, you just put the one with haste on because it feels better. Right. Or things like there's been a number of weapons for where like Brewmaster puts it on because Brewmaster doesn't scale with secondaries. So it doesn't matter that there are no secondaries. We just take the proc. But then it's been bad for all DPS because the secondaries are just always better for them. It's
right.
Like if they want to make a tank weapon, like, okay, fine, whatever. But if they want to make a weapon that DPS are actually, you know, going to use, like tone down the proc a little bit and put secondaries on it, I feel like is just the better answer in a lot of cases.
Right. Yeah. No, agreed. So yeah, that's the weapon. I mean, maybe we'll see some additional tuning to it. I think, you know, Volk provided some like feedback on how the design should look towards the end of the post, but I mean, well, at this point, I mean, it's basically on par with its current available eye level option. So like actually as a Mistweaver monk, you might just equip it if it's the only like mythic or heroic level weapon you get, because Mistweavers don't have any weapons off the last three bosses. So we are we're sort of just stuck with the 265 version of everything. So
there's one more downside to them like making these weapons really good, like Vein Ripper and Jathis are right now.
Yep.
And that is tradability. It can be very, very difficult to actually get these weapons with personal loot.
Yeah.
Because they effectively have a reduced drop rate, and the reduction scales with like how many people in your raid can actually loot it. So right. I did some looking, and like just under half of our raid, when we stack it, like we're stacking Painsmith to try and get Vein Rippers. When we stack it, just under half of our raid can get a Vein Ripper off of Painsmith. We have now seen, I think, 2 Vein Ripper drops from Mythic. We got one this weekend, actually, finally. The last one was in like fucking November or something. It's been a while. As compared to something like, even if you only look at like a leather, you know, item, that's actually close to 3/4 of our raid because of how many classes are leather. But it's just, or you compare it to something like a ring. Vein Ripper is actually like worse than usual because it's a fist weapon. And fewer classes can use fist weapons than can use swords, for example. And you compare that to something like, actually, Jathis is slightly easier because, you know, we have more classes that can use two-handed strength weapons. Like half of Hercules can just go you know, Rhett loot spec basically, and roll for a Jathis to trade. Well, except they're not going to, but
no,
they could.
They might be able to. They might be able to. Yeah.
It's like these are very unequal. Like the acquirability of these is like very unequal.
Yeah.
It's so it does introduce frustration when one of these weapons is extremely good, like best in slot good by a large margin, like Vein Ripper is, or like Jathis is, because it just becomes harder. Like it's harder to get. The item's not replaceable. You can't get like a like getting one of the other weapons, one-handed weapons in the raid for a Brewmaster is not equivalent. I will not equip them over my heroic Vein Ripper. It's not worthwhile.
Right.
So it does introduce this feel bad element of like, well, I got this weapon from Mythic. It's actually worthless to me because I have the heroic one of Vein Ripper, and I can't get the Mythic Vein Ripper because it just hasn't dropped because its drop rate is effectively reduced. So they have some issues to work out with these, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it'll be yeah, we'll see if they make any changes to this one in this specific instance. But yeah, the whole special, like, I almost think like these should be just weapons you want to equip no matter what, which means they should be maybe just slightly more powerful. But I understand with your point where there's like, if you don't get one, then it sort of feels bad, which, I mean, gives you something to work for towards, right? You have like a very, like, you have a target for loot, right? Versus like getting one and being like, great, I have to equip this because it's bad, right? So.
Yeah. But we'll see what they do. I don't think they're going to change that this tier. But it is something that I would like to see them change long term. And honestly, you can like equalize the drop rates without actually dishing personal loot. It requires a little bit of statistics, and there's still ways to like micro your group to exploit it. Like there is personal loot and stacking. But you can make it so that it's not necessary in order to like have it be the same drop rate as a ring.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, then I think we can move into a bunch of the like the build changes for this week and some of the sort of what they put out. So a bunch of changes, I guess, went out on PTR. They also put up a blue post on sort of what those items are. So we'll cover, I mean, I think the first big thing is there was a couple of really good posts around various topics. So Skarizard, that's the gentleman's or the individual's name, is back with some good posts on like loot table philosophies, class set philosophies, like how they're doing the legendary upgrades, things like that. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the class set stuff later on. But they did have a couple of posts, so we'll go through here. So the first one is they're updating the encrypted affix coming up here. So making some changes to that. I don't know if they actually posted exactly what those changes were, other than essentially sort of going around and like the buffs themselves will have multiple effects now. So it won't just be like movement speed plus stealth or haste. You know, there'll be one or two additional effects on the buffs you get for killing the various relics. It's from a healer perspective, looks like we're getting more mana regen, which is to be expected for a Mythic Plus buff nowadays. They always give us mana for whatever reason. I think for tanks, there's like, what?
It's because they took your mana regen away.
That's true. It takes forever to drink now. So I guess that's the idea. And a couple other things. I don't do much Mythic Plus in general. I'll do my 15s to get the new seasonal mount. But for me, I'll figure out which the best one my group will kill, and they will kill it, and then we'll use it there. So they did, right though, now, do... Oh, sorry.
Oh, one of the... Right now, it's probably going to be, unless, like... So they changed... There's three different mobs you can kill. One of them gives cooldown reduction. The other one, I don't know what it gives now. And the third one basically gives stealth. While you're out of combat, you are stealthed for, like, 20 seconds. It's basically a shroud. And that one got fixed, so before it wouldn't apply the stealth if you were in combat when you killed the thing, which was basically always, so you never got stealth from it. So they've changed that. Now the buff gets applied, and it only stealths you while you're out of combat, basically.
Yeah.
the cooldown reduction one got dramatically buffed. It used to be that there was a stat one that gave 25% haste, and then the cooldown reduction one that gave 25% cooldown reduction. And they were like very, very similar in their effect. Well, now the cooldown reduction one is like 200%.
That's really big. Yeah.
If you run Mechanicos, if you're a Kyrian spec and you run Mechanicos, you can just use your Covenant ability over and over again. It's very silly. On AoE. On single target, not so much. But there's a clip that was going around of a Feral Druid convoking repeatedly, like with a 5-second cooldown on one of the bosses in Halls of Atonement. So that was cool. So that one has real potential. I don't actually know what the third one does anymore.
I'll be completely honest with you. I don't either. They never really I know that it was data mined, and I didn't find it for the notes. I think the final one might have been haste and some regen or something like that. They also did sort of comment on why they chose haste and not just highest secondary. And right. I think it's just because haste is like, you'll feel haste changing the way your character plays versus like if you just got a flat like crit buff, you might see larger numbers if you have combat text on, but it doesn't really change or influence your character that much. So
I do wish that they would, like, if they're going to commit to haste being the only secondary set that really impacts your gameplay, they should go back to the energy classes and improve how they interact with haste. For example, right now, Brewmaster basically ignores its energy bar, and that's all that haste does for us, is it increases energy gen. It's not that we 100% ignore it, but it's not really very useful for us because so many of our buttons just don't cost energy. None of our defensives do. We have two rotational buttons that cost energy. All of our other rotational buttons are free and governed by a cooldown. So haste is not really something that we can feel. I do know that like rogues can feel it more because all of their abilities cost energy. but true. You know,
that is something
that I wish we would improve.
Yeah. Fair enough. So moving on, they also sort of data mine that conduits will now drop from Mythic Plus dungeons in patch 9. Sorry, Covenant conduits will now drop from Mythic Plus dungeons in 9.2. So you'll start to see, I think they posted, it's like Kyrian is Necrotic Wake will drop them, Necrolord is Plaguefall, Night Fae is Mists, and Venthyr is Halls. So this will sort of bump your conduits up to, or sorry, you can run it and get it immediately, like I think it's a 265 eye level conduit. Is what they said. So it's really nice to like catch up, because right now I think you only get you have a chance at 200 item level ones. So this will be
world boss. It's really low, and the only other place to get them is from Korthia. You can go and you can get the upgrades from there, or Torghast, of course, from doing the adamant vaults at the end.
Right.
Those are your only options. So this is really nice. It means that you're going to be pretty reliably be able to get one of these Covenant conduits early on. At high eye level, they are actually, I think, for virtually every spec, they are one of the conduits that you run. At least,
yeah,
maybe not literally every spec that I've played, you run the conduit. I think actually Warlock, you don't. I don't think Warlock does. But Brewmaster, all the tanks run their Covenant conduit pretty much. So it's very good there. Happy about that.
Yeah, that'll be huge just as a catch up mechanic, right? To catch yourself up in those areas. So it'll be nice there. They also changed some flying requirements in Xerath Mortis. So before, I think it was like week 5 or 6 you unlocked flying. They now basically they changed some of the attunement structure, and flying will unlock on week 3. So there's a couple things you need to do, some like quests, some side quests, some like running around the zone and collecting, I think, treasures or something like that. But for the most part, the biggest thing that's holding you back is going to be you have to complete chapter 5 of the 9.2 campaign. So once you complete that chapter, that's sort of one of the achievements you'll get. You can do all the other ones, I think, pre that point. And the chapter 5 seems to be unlocking week 3. So,
yep. And then you fly.
You go flying.
Being able to fly the new zone is going to be nice. Not being able to fly in Korthia was kind of annoying. Korthia is small enough that it was honestly kind of fine, but being able to fly in Xerath Mortis, it's a larger zone, is going to be pretty valuable. definitely not going to mind that.
No, that'll be super A-okay. And then the final sort of patch note wrap up before we start talking about tier tokens and acquisition stuff. There was new items added for a skip. So there will be some level of a raid skip. We have confirmed in the new zone. So seems like it might follow. They need to go back and do the HFC skip, which is just let me port right to the last boss without having to kill any other boss. And I don't know
I'm curious what this is going to work like. Being able to skip to the last four bosses is not quite the same kind of skip, right? Like, it's still good. But for example, these tokens, according to the tooltip, drop from Anduin.
Right.
So if you kill Anduin, you get one of these tokens, you get four, you complete the quest. And if it works like Sanctum of Domination, that means you have to kill the first boss, then you get a teleport to Anduin. But then you have to kill Anduin, Rigelon, and Mal'Ganis to go do the Jailer. So one thing they maybe could do, like Kel'Thuzad, when you skip to Kel'Thuzad, Guardian of the First Ones and Fatescribe are still up. The trash is still there. Everything is still there. So maybe what they would do is let you skip to Anduin and then let you skip to the Jailer after Anduin. So you have to like do Anduin and then do you could just walk past Rigelon and Mal'Ganis.
Which would make sense, because it's almost like, I was just thinking about this as you're talking, it's almost like they want to force three bosses just so you get one vault, right? Yeah. So if they do that, then it would be like first Anduin and then pass like right to Jailer once you have the skip unlocked, which would make sense.
Yeah. So that might be the case, but we do know there's going to be a skip. This is good. Objectively a good thing. I think they learned their lesson from BFA, from not having skips for any of the first three tiers.
Awful, dude.
It was miserable, man.
I think you get BOD. Deep
and you just want to go and like, you want to go in, you want to kill the last boss, and you just want to like dick around in the raid for a few hours with your guild. Like,
having
this like end boss that actually is the hardest boss at the end of it, after you've been dicking around with your guild for 3 hours in the raid, is not as conducive to actually successfully completing the boss fight.
No, even in like BOD, I distinctly remember like there was always that point we get to like, we do Rosticon, which was always like hit or miss, but like typically at the end we'd get through it. And then we'd hit like, what's the Mechatork right after him?
Yeah.
And it was just, if we didn't two shot that, the rest of the raid was a tilt. Like we would get to Mechatork by like hour one. And then it was three more hours of just like maybe getting Jaina down. Cause it was like tilt there. Tilted brigade or whatever it was called, and then like Jaina was just like the skips are awesome. I mean, once they put it into BOD just became a lot more fun to like jump in, do Jaina, and then turn around, so if we needed to. But cool.
One more thing I want to touch on, this is not a PTR thing, but we mentioned it last week. Burning Crusade new tier came out this week. Like Thursday night, they had I don't even remember what the schedule was. It released at like 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern time. And the World First Guild cleared both Hyjal and B in the Black Temple in 2 hours, I want to say. 2 hours.
Yeah, it was very
And quick. Some of that was fighting the login boss, because I know there were a bunch of guilds that were getting like chain teleported to Shadowmoon Valley.
It was Guild Progress. Yeah, cleared everything first. I went, 14 of 14, I think.
Yeah.
Bosses on across the tier. Yeah, good for them.
I also didn't realize Black Temple only had 10 bosses until this week. I was like, that raid seems a lot bigger than 10 bosses.
There's a lot of trash. Seems like a Black Temple. Like, I will tell you that they have gotten much better at that, because like the next zone is Sunwell, right?
Yeah.
And the first boss of Sunwell,
trash.
The first boss, just to get to the first boss, you go I don't know if you remember, it's a big ass square, and then you go up to like get to the first boss. Yeah, They've toned that down.
Legitimately, like, okay, maybe they do it. I'm sure they're going to do it a lot faster when it comes out on Classic, right?
Yeah.
They're going to micro. They're going to speed clear. But back in the day, that was like 30 plus minutes of trash to reach the first boss.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, like, in Sanctum, you know, Terror Grew has a lot of trash before that you have to clear because you are, you don't have to, but you want to clear because it gives you anima powers.
Right.
And we clear that in probably 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. We do the whole, like, left, right, run through the center, left, right, and then come back. So you only have to, you
we're
have
not
to
kill even that efficient. No. We just go left. Although, gotcha. I think we're actually going to switch to doing left, right, like gotcha. You're doing, just so that we can reach the other portal without going all the way around the room.
Oh, so we do. I don't know if you know this. So quick on that portal, if you take this, so if you clear the way that only you can only get to the frost portal, if you go zone in and then zone right back up, it drops you in the middle of Terriger's room, and then you can run to the right one. So like that's typically what we do. But we normally we typically will port down after Sylvanas and go back up and do Fate Scribe and Guardian. Or maybe just Guardian if we're having a bad night and then go to the bottom and kill a couple bosses to get six loots. But yeah, that's BC is like, it's that Black Temple is mad. Like, yeah, getting to like what is the dude down below? I've always forget his Gorfiend. Is that his name? No.
Yeah.
There's Terran Gor. There's Terran, but he's up. But the guy Bloodboil, yeah. Like going down in that section is just a ton of trash. The trash up to Mother Shiraz or whatever is like intense. A lot of trash in that instance. So but cool. No, yeah, congrats. My shaman is still 66. Not making too much like still leveling, but it's just in a grand. I hate it. I actually hate that zone. So it's been a little bit slow going.
I actually did spend some time on my rogue. I had misremembered the level. It was 46, not 48. It is now 48, almost 49. So
nice.
Progress.
You're putting it in there, yeah. So I'm hoping to hit max, and then we'll see. There, I got to contend, though, with, 9-2, and then there's a new PoE league, Lost Ark. There's tons of games.
Yep.
Too many games.
Yep. Too many games.
Well, cool. I guess we jump into like our main topic of the day, which is tier sets and how they acquired them. They've changed this slightly. So I guess I'll give a brief overview of what they've posted, and then we can go from there. So Blizzard put out I think it was Skarsgård again. No, it was a different person. Yes. Cause they were like, this is the first time we're writing this. Oh, it doesn't link to it.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I forget who exactly posted this one. In any event, new person posted.
No, yeah.
Forge. And they, I'm sorry, who was it?
Forge.
Oh, Forge, yeah. So they've been around a while. Forge is a senior game designer. Been working on WoW for 14 years. So first time we get to hear from old Forge, I think. Awesome. But no, they do a good job. They basically throw out a huge post around sort of some feedback on some of the initial bugs that may have been around there. Talked a little bit about the creation catalyst. And then finally, the big news is that they are switching to tokens from dropping individual pieces. Good news.
Good news pretty much across the board. The only thing I would say is kind of bad news is when creation catalyst becomes available to turn into set pieces, it's really slow. 8 weeks is a long time. So it really is only going to be useful as a catch-up mechanism for alts. It's not really going to be useful for raiders. Like, if you are a mythic raider, you will be clearing heroic and normal, and you will get your four piece from heroic/normal prior to creation catalysts becoming available to craft set pieces with like an absurdly high likelihood. It's super, super, super unlikely that you will not get them by week 8. So this is an alt catch-up system, which is actually, I think, as an alt catch-up system, it's fine. But it is not, like, it was originally billed as both bad luck protection and an alt catch-up system. And, like, the only way, I mean, I guess it is also bad luck protection for people that are playing solo. Because playing solo means you don't have people trading you set pieces.
Right.
And trading is an enormous part of the acquisition of tier for a raiding guild. Yeah. So if you don't have that, then this may come into play in getting your like final piece of tier. But for Mythic Raiders, you're not going to have to worry about Creation Catalyst. It's going to be something for your alts, and that's it. Right. The other major thing, as far as like nerfs, quote unquote, is that on PTR, like we talked about how bosses were dropping 4 tier pieces. Mm-hmm. On every boss on Mythic, which is a lot. That was apparently a bug. It was dropping twice as much as it was supposed to. So it's down to 2 tier pieces. And the way it's going to work is that if a boss drops tier, it is going to drop 2 non-tier pieces as well as 2 tier pieces. So it's just straight 50-50. On Mythic, it's going to be 2 and 2. On Heroic, if you have 6 people, it's going to be like 3 and 3. Mm-hmm. Or... yeah, 30 six people, groups. 3 and 3. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's that. And bosses that don't drop tier, of course, don't do that. They're going to drop their other pieces instead. The biggest thing, though, is honestly the reintroduction of tokens. It's such a huge thing. So I have, I guess bring this up kind of now. I have built a simulator to calculate for my raid group how long it is going to take to acquire tier on average, and do different statistics on it and try out different like loot distribution strategies, and see what we're looking at in terms of like when we're going to get tier, so we can plan, figure out, you know, what we need to ask people to do for the vault and all this kind of stuff. And pretty reliably, basically, regardless of what loot strategy you use, regardless of how many vault slots you get, you're looking at between 4 and 6 weeks to get your entire raid a 4-piece bonus.
That's not so bad.
And a lot of that actually does come down to it being tokens now. Without tokens, it's actually significantly longer because of the fact that like, our raid group right now, we have 1 warrior and 1 DK. And 1 paladin. And that means that each of those 3 without tokens would only like would not be able to ever get traded tier loot.
Right.
So the only way they would get it is a direct drop to themselves, which is just super, super unlikely. So having it be tokens actually removes that. So now, you know, paladins are on a loot token with 3 other classes. Right. And so that effectively means that about 1/3 of our group can always trade every person.
Right. Yeah, which is like you said, this is a great change in terms of being able to like ensure that the loot doesn't go wasted, which was our like some of the initial comments I think we had last week or the week before when we talked about the old system. Mm-hmm. The tokens still somewhat fall flat of like being fully tradable because what they did, and they sort of put this in the post, which is, and it was sort of nebulous when I read it, but they talk about like the technical limitations of tokens. But the sort of part of the post is like, there's a paragraph around like, our engineering team put a new tech for us, basically. And it wasn't, at the first I read it, I didn't realize what they were talking about. But what I think ends up happening is like, tier tokens used to just be items. They weren't considered like, equipable or non-equipable or armor pieces. They were just items that you turn into something. Right. And with personal loot, the issue now becomes you have to be able to understand if that person could trade that item or not. So they literally put in tech to, I guess, check to treat tokens now, as they say, as fully first-class citizens, which I think just they use that term, which is just weird. But I think now tokens function much more like armor pieces in terms of identifying, okay, you can trade this, you can't trade this based on what you have equipped. There is some interesting, weird trading rules that don't really become apparent right away. I think a little bit of the controversy. I don't think it affects like, it affects probably like maybe 5%. I'm making numbers up, but it affects such a small percentage of the player base. It's not a huge deal. It's just slightly annoying. And essentially the way that the trading rules work is as long as you have equipped a tier set of that slot, you can trade the next token of an equal or higher or equal or lower item level that you got. Meaning if you loot a heroic helm and equip it, you can trade a normal or another heroic helm. You can trade a mythic helm from a set token perspective. So that makes sense, right?
But if you have, for example, a mythic sanctum helm, which is higher eye level than a normal helm, you cannot trade a normal helm token if it's the first helm token that you've gotten.
Yeah.
Which is important. It basically means that you can only trade duplicate set pieces. And it doesn't go the other way. Like, it's not, you know, getting a normal helm, like you said, does not mean you can trade a heroic helm or a mythic helm. You can still only trade a normal helm until you get a higher eye level piece to be able to trade a heroic or a mythic item.
Exactly.
So it's like all of the normal, like, eye level based trading rules, which kind of suck, plus it's this extra rule around not being able to trade set pieces until you've gotten that piece yourself.
Right. Yeah. It's basically its trading rules are only about other tier pieces, right? That's all it cares about. It doesn't care about any other loot other than the tier that you've looted and equipped. So somewhat of a downer there. It's funny, like, this became a huge issue on, of course, social media, people freaking out about it. And the more I think about this, the more it's like, this actually doesn't affect, I feel like it doesn't affect too many people, right? There's going to be definitely be situations where it's like, I get another, like, or I have a mythic offset helm that I know I'm never going to unequip, right, from Sepulcher. And then I get a mythic tier token. It's like, well, it's my first one. I can't do anything with it. It's sort of like busted loot, right? That, I mean, the other thing too is that happens today, right? Like, that'll happen with, like, certain trinkets that you know no one's going to equip, but you get it the mythic item level version of it. So, like, you have to sort of just rot it and other items like that. So that's sort of, they didn't equip, like, still the bad parts of personal loot are still there, I'll say. But they did allow you to trade it, which I think is good.
Didn't let you trade it, the system just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It would take so long to get to your sets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The other thing that sort of is somewhat annoying, but I guess I get it, is that, like, once you get four, like, it would be nice if once you got four piece, you could trade any token of that item level, right? But they don't do that. So, like, to be fair, like, as someone who probably won't equip tier set gloves, if I get gloves at any point, I will just have to equip them, even if I have, like, a legendary in that slot, or I'll have offset gloves, which are generally going to be good, right? So that part of the acquisition, sort of, you still have that, but to be fair, that's just, I think, a personal loot issue. It's not these tokens issue. So some I guess good there on the token sides. So I think that's it'll be, like you mentioned, good change, better the loot acquisition, a little bit quicker, being able to trade more. Definitely helps those raids where you have, like, it actually helps on either, I guess, end of the spectrum, raids where you have maybe, like, multiple of a certain class or group of classes, right? So you might have, like, a bunch of hunters and druids who might share a token. They'll get sort of be able to spread gear easier, and it'll help those instances where you might have, like, one warrior or, like, one rogue in the raid, right? So
So overall, like, the token thing is actually sneaky good. Like, I originally put together this simulator with the old rules that we knew of, which was four tier pieces per boss, you could always trade it, and did some simulations with that, and actually got similar numbers, but with much higher variance. You know, when we have four druids in the raid group, we would have the druids finishing their tier pieces, like, super early. But then the warrior, the paladin, the DK would take significantly longer to finish their tier piece. And that's really where the, like, most of your raid in the under the old rules would complete it pretty quickly, but then the people that only were the only one of their class would just take an extra 2 or 3 weeks to get it done, which is super, super feels bad, right? Like, nobody wants to be, like, the only DK, and as a result of them being the only DK, be also further penalized by taking longer to get their tier set.
Right, yeah.
So what this did, like, the amount of time it's going to take most people is going up because there's less of it dropping. Like, no surprises there. That's how that works. But the amount of time it takes for the outliers, the people that are they're the only one of their class, goes down. So it actually ends up being, for completing your entire raid, it's about the same length of time. For any individual completing it, it is longer. But I'm still happy that like the tokens are here. It's going to dramatically improve how it feels outside of like a world first kind of scenario.
Yeah, for sure. And I wonder, the other thing that you saw sort of around these tokens, a lot of people sort of pointed back to like weapon tokens from Nathria, or, you know, the idea that they should tokenize any major like loot piece, like trinkets. I've seen people been like, you should have trinket tokens. And I hope they go against it, go against doing that, right? Like, I know weapons can be impactful and trinkets can be impactful, but I think it's still cool to loot those. I think with sets, because like sets are always going to be mandatory, and typically like sets, well, not typically, but in some cases sets like contain some sort of like interesting gameplay, like alteration, right? Like that's where sets are basically their ability to do some weird stuff with a class, maybe in like a time gated sort of scenario. I'm fine with, I think, tokens being there, because like, at least with like being one of your class, you'll acquire your set generally slower. Like acquiring a trinket, you wouldn't acquire generally slower, right? Unless, you know, because they don't drop that often, I'll say. But yeah, I mean, I think in my mind, they shouldn't extend the token system beyond just set pieces.
I don't know that I totally agree with that. And I will use an example from Dungeons actually for this. And that is IQD versus Blood Spattered Scale. Mm-hmm. Every class, every spec can loot an IQD. There are no specs that are ineligible for it, which means that when you finish Mists of Tirna Scythe, no matter who gets awarded loot, there is a chance that they get IQD. In the other side, Blood Spattered Scale can only be looted by tank specs. So as a result, that like they have similar total number of items in them.
Yep.
It means that effectively Blood Spattered Scale is 5 times as rare as IQD, because you're looking at one person that can loot it versus 5. If you have people that can trade you, then you can double or triple the drop rate of Blood Spattered Scale, as opposed to IQD, where, you know, it drops when it drops and there's nothing you can do about it because nobody can opt out or opt in.
Right.
And that also applies in raid. A healer trinket is going to be rarer than a DPS trinket because there are 4, maybe 5 healers, maybe 3 healers, mm-hmm. and there are going to be, you know, 14 DPS. Same thing with tanks. There's 2 tanks. Tank trinkets are going to be rarer, which is where you get things like, when we get to the 9, we ask everybody to put on a tank or healer loot spec in order to fish for those trinkets. So,
I mean, that's fair. I don't know. Maybe I do.
Like, tokens are a way to solve that problem, right? Like, you can have a trinket token that drops from the 9 that, you know, you right click it and it gives you the trinket for your loot spec from the boss. That would be an option, but that pigeonholes them into having a trinket for every spec from that boss, right?
Right. Yeah.
There are other ways they could do it, like adjusting the drop rate of items based on your raid comp so that like both trinkets have the same drop rate as a ring, you know. There are other ways of doing it. And of course, the most basic and my preference, just give us back master loot, then every item has the same drop rate.
Yeah.
Master loot, like the more I look into loot, the more I am convinced that master loot actually, like, I understand why they did personal loot and what they were trying to solve. And it does actually solve a bunch of problems with pugging. So I don't fault them for putting together personal loot. But when you try and use it in a scenario where you really care about getting certain pieces, you know, like certain extremely powerful trinkets, it just breaks.
Yeah, it becomes, you basically fight against it. So, So I guess that's the quick token thing. The other thing that happened just around this is a bunch of world first guilds a little upset about the trading rules, because now they're talking about, I need one of every class or something ridiculous, or I need like multiple of that class to make sure I get my set bonuses. Okay. But
There's also something, like, you might have seen Nagi's tweets. There's a streamer Discord that Laura's in, that he explained to people in that Discord what the tentative rules were for trading. which was not explained in the blog post.
Yeah.
And that, of course, got leaked, which it should have been. Like, it is correct for that to be more publicly available. Those loot rules are super important for planning. My simulations would be completely wrong
if I didn't
know about the trading rules.
So before you go any further, I slightly disagree in that, like, knowing the trading rules now doesn't change, like, I'll, at least from personal experience, is not going to change the way that we set up our raid, right? Like, we're not going to...
We're not going to be adjusting comp, but it does matter for figuring out, you know, okay, we can ask people to go a little bit harder for like 2 or 3 weeks. If it's going to take us, you know, 6 weeks to complete tier sets, then we're not going to ask people to go, you know, super hard for 6 weeks. It's just not, like, we're not going to do it.
Right.
So it matters for like meta strategy. We're not adjusting comps. Like for Mythic, we're like for Heroic, we're putting in our entire raid team. For Mythic, right, we're putting in the people, the 20 people that we think are going to kill the boss fastest. And so I don't think it matters for us there, but it does matter.
Right. But I mean, like, I guess my point, and this is sort of more, I guess we can talk about it, but the idea is like leaking it. Like, the idea is the information, like the people, I think the issue that people had with it, and at least what I saw, was that not that the information was leaked, like not that the context of the information, right? Like, knowing the loot rules, great. Like, hopefully they would have said something maybe in a week or two when they were ready to tell everyone, right? But like the fact that people got upset about there's some sort of like secret discords, right? Where, like, to be fair, we've had this conversation before, like, there have been these things elsewhere in like the community. There was like private forums at one point. There was like Discords. Yeah. There are still like, there are people who are just friends with Blizzard developers.
Yeah.
Not to put you on blast, but yeah, there's tanking. There's also, like, to be fair, Kira and Warcraft Logs has probably a direct connection to whoever writes the combat log. And if there's an issue in a combat log, he's not posting on a bug report. He's pinging or emailing someone, right? Like, that's... Like, in that regard, like, you're not going to stop people who have been around the community a long time or have a larger following in the community, right? From like being friends with people at Blizzard and like being in these things. So like the fact that they exist and people get upset about them, I think is just stupid, because like you want targeted feedback.
Yeah, right? I don't mind that they exist. I think that it's kind of silly that such an important piece of the tier set acquisition puzzle was left out of the blue post explaining how tier sets were going to be acquired.
And my only counter to that is that at least what I saw didn't seem like it was a, this is what we're going with. It's like, here's how it is now. This may change, right?
I mean, that's what the post is too. It's not like the post is set in stone.
Right. I mean, that's fair. They could have probably mentioned something, but I mean, all the fallout of this, right, is potentially things like that stop happening, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, now you lose more of a direct connection to Blizzard, right? And like they become more shielded when, and then the only way we hear things are through like blue posts, right? That may contain less or incomplete information.
They've actually been killing it on the blue posts.
To be fair, I'm fine with it.
Blizzard, Skarsgård's been doing amazing work. Forge's blue post is still great. I'm annoyed that it left out that very important piece, but it's still like super, super good. There's the guy, I don't remember, or the person who was posting the updates to Encrypted, did some good stuff there. And they were like pretty clear, like, we have some changes we're going to be making to it. We have these specific concerns based on what you guys have said about the existing implementation. I can't post what the new version is going to be because we don't know yet, but it will be up in, you know, the next PTR build or whatever. Yeah. Which is like super good. That's great. I'm very happy with how they've been communicating that stuff. I am just kind of frustrated that this, I consider this an extremely important piece of information about how tier set acquisition is going to work.
That's fair.
Because it does matter for like determining, for example, trading rules. Like, for example, knowing that you cannot trade tier pieces as soon as you get them matters a lot for what kind of strategies even make sense to think about for trading loot. If you can always trade them as soon as you get them, then there are strategies. They're not optimal based on my simulations, but they exist, which can funnel pieces to certain players and get a bunch of four pieces week one, which is why people from, you know, Liquid and Echo and Method, maybe you're not super happy.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, that doesn't really matter. But it does matter for me in like an officer position, trying to figure out what we're going to do with tier pieces when they drop. And just like putting out like to our rating team, here's what we're planning to do with tier pieces. This is why we're planning to do it, which is actually the whole reason that I put this sim together, really, is like I wanted to figure out what's the right way for us to handle tier
for
what our team is going to do. And the answer is different from what is correct for a world first guild. Because that's we're fair. Not going to be optimizing for week one tier sets, because week one, we're going to be doing, you know, a few bosses, but mostly going to be going back and finishing heroic because of the release schedule.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty annoyed about it. I don't have an issue with these discords existing. I just think that when it's something that is this important, you know, Lore's response should have been, here's what it is. I'm going to go poke Forge to make sure that the blue post gets amended or updated, or another blue post to just comment on it, you know?
Yeah. And I guess, so my only, so, and this is why maybe it was leaked out of context, which is like, he could have just been asking, like, he could have been like, hey, I'm looking for some targeted feedback here. And like, here's how it works right now. What's your feedback on this situation? Cause like, in that regard, right? Like in that regard, there's no mention of like, here's what it's like. This is the thing about the whole Lore thing.
We are missing context. Yeah.
Like, cause if his context was like, here's how it kind of works today. What's your feedback? Like, I don't think that goes into a blue post, because like in a blue post isn't supposed to be give us like, at least in my mind, it's not like maybe you could ask for feedback. Certain blue posts have, but something like this is more of a write up on like, here's how the systems are changing, or here's how the systems work. Right. And they're not asking for explicit feedback, where like Lore might have been like, hey guys, thinking about this, what is your feedback? Right. And we just get an excerpt of it. That's my only point about the whole fact of the matter is like, I'm not super concerned about it not being, I mean, I understand from your point of view why it matters. Right. And I don't discredit that if they knew that this is the way it's going to work to put it in there. But the other side of it is like, maybe they have very little idea. And it's just like, here's how it works coming out of like the initial iteration. And like, what do you friends of Blizzard think, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean,
it's also like, think back to Uldir when we had Azerite, and week one, you could not trade Azerite at all. Just period, end of discussion, you could not trade Azerite. And that's the kind of thing where if they had actually put that out to the community, that would have gotten shot down so fast. Like, it literally doesn't matter for the world first guilds, pretty much, because they're just like, they're finishing week one anyway. It doesn't matter that much that you can't trade the tier pieces. It matters for like doing splits, but it doesn't matter for Mythic. But for everybody else, for the rest of the community, they would have been, there would have been a riot if they had had a blue post about that, and they would have adjusted course. Instead, there was a riot on release and they had to adjust course after the fact.
Right. No, I agree. I think, And my only comment there is, I think Azerite's a terrible example, because they put Azerite on the PTR like a month before, like,
yeah, that's fair.
The expansion launched. That, like, their feedback capture on Azerite was just poor to begin with. So like acquisition being like how it's being traded and loot rules and stuff like that, not surprised it's also poor. But not in any event. Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess we, I mean, I definitely 100% see your point. Like, my point is just that, like, I think leaking it was the problem. Like, the information is definitely important, but like without context around like why it was being presented this way or what they were talking about at the time, right? Like, was more, I think, more important than the fact that like, oh, a bunch of like world first raiders get, you know, advanced information. Because I mean, we all know for a fact that like Echo, Limit, and probably Method, and maybe a couple other guilds know when the patch is released, and they sign NDAs not to say anything. Like, that's fairly public knowledge, right? So they're already getting advanced information than, you know, than the rest of the player base. So it's just like, I don't know. I feel bad for Lore.
the other piece of this, which I think is hilarious, is we don't know enough context about the conversation to really know how these comments ended up happening. Yeah. But basically, you know, Lore explained how the loot was going to work. And then their immediate response was, this means we're doing a bunch of class deck splits.
Yeah.
And Lore's like, but why? Doesn't this change mean that you don't have to do that? And literally Dratnos explaining to him, this is just like you run eight, you have one player run eight mages or whatever in right. order to get, and then you just, when Mythic Week happens, you just play the one that happened to get four pieces.
Yeah, that adds the most tier. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can use that mage to trade if needed.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah,
this is something, this is something that personal loot enables.
Oh, yeah. And to be fair, like, I think those, and I think this may be my last comment on this, but World First Guilds would do some degenerate ass shit.
Yeah.
To like,
you are correct. There's different things that Master Loot enables. Like, right. you would, in this current day and age, if they just turned on Master Loot for Sepulchre, we would see splits. They would be done differently. They would still be doing splits. They are probably doing just as many.
Right. And but they, I think the nature of the splits changes, because right now the splits are mostly relying on the community to come in, right? And like support, where like, to be fair, in the old style, maybe that there's probably a way that you get the community involved in the current version of splits if they did it right. But in the old version, it was just like one player had like six or seven characters. Yeah. Right. And through those six, and you did different splits to class stack and armor stack and things like that. And that's how you did it. But it was all in guild, right? Where like today there's like a weird parasocial relationship.
The thing with like Master Loot is that when you get a boss kill, you get loot. The loot doesn't care about who's in your raid. Like if you have 30 mages, you're still just as likely to get a mage item as if you had one mage. Which does mean that, for example, you wanted, instead of class stacking like you would in splits right now with personal loot, you would want a balanced raid comp. You would want to optimize the chance that you can use all of the loot off of each boss instead of, you know, optimizing to, well, be able to trade it. But that doesn't mean that you wouldn't do splits. It means that you rearrange which characters are in which split.
Exactly. It becomes, like a different thing. Yeah, for sure.
So they would still, I 100% believe that if they added, like, splits would not go away with Master Loot. I don't think they would even end up running that many, fewer splits. But it would eliminate a lot of class stacking in those splits.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
They wouldn't go away.
No.
Like, if it's optimal for them to play, to bring eight mages through splits, they would run eight mages through splits.
Exactly. So cool. No, that's on I think in general tokens are cool. A little bit of a community dust up around this whole lore screenshot thing that was shared, which just I that type of stuff, like if you're in those sort of, if you're in the position to have that sort of voice with Blizzard, like posting screenshots of things and then leaking them just seems like a shitty way to go about it.
I will slightly clarify my previous comment. I don't think that leaking it was necessarily correct. Like,
but the information should have been
information. Yeah, I think having the information be public is correct.
Right.
Leaking it, maybe not.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so one quick thing, I know we're coming to the end here, gone through all that, but I did want to go back on the creation catalyst a little bit, because we sort of just touched on it. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned it doesn't come online, it looks like, right now, about till week 8, which is well beyond when most mythic raiders and even if you have a consistent heroic group are going to get their tier set. So the actual system is meant much more as a catch-up mechanic, which is actually really cool. And one of the things I wanted to keep in mind is that it is a charge-based system. So they basically data mined some strings a couple weeks ago.
It kind of is. You have one, and then week 9, you have two or whatever. And just like, it doesn't matter whether you're playing the character or not. It means that, you know, your, you know, tier set from creation catalyst cap, you know, goes up every week the same as everybody else's. If you make a character in 3 months, they will have the same cap as my character that got played from day one.
Exactly. And the only thing you're missing is the resources to build it. Like, I think you need like cosmic flux to make these sort of sets. You have to farm that up. But yeah, there's no gating. There's no like you have to do Xerath Mortis every week to keep your timer going to get enough like of the next charge of it. But it is charge based, which I think is cool. And yeah, you mentioned it. The global sort of like acquisition of charges, I think, is also really nice. It's like the way artifact knowledge used to be, right? Where like every week you'd get the next level of it, no matter what, which was cool. So yeah. I think
improvement over how that worked in Legion, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think this is a really good, like this part of the catch up is really cool because it alleviates one of the issues with DOM sockets, right? Is that like you feel so weak if you play an alt, and then to get your alt to where they seem serviceable requires you like multiple runs doing upgrades and things like that. Because like for a lot of people, they're playing alts because their main is then maxed, right? But they're not lowering the content they're doing, at least in organized groups, right? So that's always the issue that I find playing alts in like Mythic raids is like, I generally don't, like I can run them through Mythic Plus and go out that way, but I'm not pugging heroic. Like I'm doing whatever my guild's doing on the nights that we raid.
I've tried pugging heroic. It's gotten so bad.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I don't know what to do about it anymore. It's so like I pugged so much in Legion. Just an ungodly amount of time spent pugging heroic on different alts. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just me being impatient. I can't really say, but it feels so bad right now. I can't get in. Like I've got my DK now is 245 equipped.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't even try and pug. Like, obviously I don't need much from it. I still actually have a couple of items I would like from heroic.
Right.
But I'm not even going to try. It's so time consuming for so little gain.
Oh yeah.
Maybe it's the patch going on for so long. Fewer people are doing it. Maybe it's some impact of sales where sales have gotten cheap enough that it's just more efficient to buy a sale than it is to pug. Maybe it's just the good people, like the high-end players that previously would be running pugs on their alts, where sales now have penetrated deep enough in the broader community that even, you know, a world 500 guild has all of their alts dedicated to sales instead of running alt heroics. Like some combination of factors, it's so bad right now.
I think with this it lets you catch up and not feel like you're worthless, right, stepping into Mythic. Because like stepping to Mythic on my shaman right now, who has no dom socket or has level one dom sockets and the blood set, I think, and not even four slots, just gonna get carried through
bosses. On my DK, I came in with no dom set but four dom sockets because I ran heroic twice and didn't get any complete set. Even though I had the items to put in the gems, I couldn't actually turn on a set, which was very annoying.
That's annoying.
I did get my dom set during it, but then I had to like go teleport out, go to the vendor, and level it up.
So good.
Which is the exact problem that they raised with tokens, by the way, that you had to go and like turn in your token, and it's like,
dom sockets are worse.
Did that with dom.
You had to like unequip it from the item, buy it,
went to the vendor and realized the first time I went to the vendor, I realized I didn't have enough Stygia. Like I got there, I couldn't even level it up, or like I could level it up, but I couldn't put it in.
Yeah.
Because I had put another random gem in there and I didn't have the 2,500 Stygia to buy the chisel to get it out.
Oh, yeah. 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 No, yeah. So, I mean, I think this is really cool catch-up mechanic. Like, it lets you at least get to, like, a level of power where you can, like, feel like you're contributing and then sort of cap yourself out. So, it'll be interesting to see how they do, like, I don't think they mentioned this in the post, but, like, what level of gear you get to unlock. Like, do you get to go right to heroic? Can you actually make mythic pieces out of this? Right. It'll be cool, to sort of get that. So,
Yep.
But yeah, I think that was everything for the week.
Before we wrap up, I want to like really briefly talk what I think is the best strat for trading loot for like a mythic guild. Okay. Like if you're in a CE guild, like how should you distribute tier pieces? Like there's restrictions like we talked about. You have to have already gotten the item. So you're never going to be in a situation where a helm drops for you and you can immediately trade it even if you've never gotten a helm before. If you get your helm piece, it's yours the first time. That's just how it's going to work. So the question is, when you get a duplicate item, who should it get traded to? And how do you make that decision? And there's a few different ways you could do it. One of the like pretty obvious ways to do it is you give it to the person that has the most pieces, so that that also doesn't have that piece, so that you can try and get four sets. And that actually turns out is slower overall. It's going to give you more tier pieces in the first couple of weeks by a small amount. But it is going to give you more four pieces, especially week one. So you're going to see World First Guilds doing it when they can. That's just, they're going to be trading in order to optimize week one four piece sets.
Right, yeah.
I don't think that's correct for a lot of mid-tier guilds like mine. Because we're going to be, like, we want to have as many tier sets as possible on, like, week two, week three, week four.
Right.
And it turns out that the best strategy to do that is actually to, well, there's a strategy that optimizes the number of tier pieces you have on, like, the minimizes the amount of time it takes to get everybody a tier piece, which is probably not the correct way to go about it either. But it's actually to give a tier piece to the person with the least items.
Because then they're now a tradable, like, they can then trade, right?
They can trade it. It also means that you waste fewer items from the vault. If you have three pieces and you get your vault, you are more likely to have them be duplicates than if you had two pieces. So if you have a bunch of people with two pieces, you're going to have fewer of them just with completely wasted vaults. And it's actually kind of a big impact. It is on average half a week faster, which is a weird thing to say because we have lockouts and things. You can't actually get it half a week faster, but
yeah,
basically it's shifting it. So if it's a 50-50 between week four and week five on one strategy, then it becomes like 75-25 between week four and week five. So it is better to do that. But the best one that I've actually found that kind of balances the two, it is slightly less efficient than just giving them to the least, but also gives you more completed sets earlier. So there's a little bit of like, the last person that completes their set is going to take slightly longer to do it.
Right.
But you're going to have more tier sets earlier. And that is that it's a very simple idea. If you could trade it to somebody and have it complete their four set, you do that. If you can't, then you trade it to someone that can complete their two set. And if you can't do that, then you trade it to the person with the least total items.
Gotcha. Okay. So you traded someone who can do their
basically four set.
You trade on the list. Like,
yeah.
To complete a set. Full and set, then, yeah.
Two set.
And then item. Least. Gotcha. That makes sense. That makes it. Yeah. Because then you spread out. I thought it would be something weird. Like you'd have to look at, all right, how many gloves have we had dropped? And then you give it to the person who has the least amount of pieces, not including glow, like, you know what I mean? Like something weird like that. I don't know if that matters.
I didn't try and optimize it around personal like loot slides. Abuse.
Yeah. Okay.
Like we're not going to be doing any kind of splits or class stacking or anything like that to try and do it with the switch to, I actually, before the switch to tokens, I was going to see if it would be better for us to run combined, like split bolt. We have two raid teams in my guild. I was going to see if it would be, how much faster it would be if we like took both raid teams, mashed them together, and then split them up again into ones that like didn't have any classes where you were the only one in the group, right?
Right, yeah.
I didn't actually end up doing that because we got the token announcement, but I'm pretty sure it would have been. But we're not going to do that now because tokens just kind of solve that problem.
Exactly, exactly.
I actually am kind of happy that that is the optimal strategy because I think optimal is a strong word. It's the best strategy that I've found.
Yeah.
Because it actually is also a strategy that I think is good for like morale and how it feels. It's like,
oh yeah.
Basically trading then kind of functions as bad luck protection for the raid group instead of it being like trading to the people that already got lucky, like the opposite of bad luck protection.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, and to be fair, like when tier sets used to drop back in the day, that was a very similar strategy. We used to give it out with Master Loot, which was like, does this complete a four set? You pretty much auto got it. Does it complete a two set? Yeah. Auto got it. And then like whoever is it, your third piece or your first piece was sort of the, well, if it was your first piece, you got that. Yeah. That's sort of how we ended up doing it.
I should emphasize, like, a lot of the difference between like giving to least versus giving to most actually entirely comes from the vault.
Right. Yeah.
Because if it drops in raid and you get a duplicate, you can just trade it. Right.
Exactly.
The vault you can't trade. And because you can't trade that, it basically is the difference between the two options there. So if the vault didn't exist, then it wouldn't matter how you distributed it as long as you like tried to complete four piece and two piece. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, interesting.
That's I'm pretty happy with how that actually panned out. And it's the sim itself is still kind of a work in progress. I'm not 100% confident that there's no issues. I actually found and fixed one before the show today. That was one of the reasons we were late.
Yeah.
It is, I'm confident enough that that is probably the correct strategy for a lot of guilds.
Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. That is awesome.
But yeah.
All righty. I think that's it. Got through all of it.
I think that's it for our show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed the show and you want to support it and the other work that we do over at the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, we would invite you to come and join our Discord. The Peak of Serenity Discord is open to everybody, not just our patrons. And the, you know, lounge question channels, there's a lot of good discussions there. A lot of good people. And I think that's it for the show today. Awesome. We'll be back next week to talk more about the goings-on. We will see what kind of announcements we get. Fingers crossed we're approaching a release date.
Hopefully
that would be an awesome announcement for next week. But we will be talking about just whatever happens next week.
Sounds good. Bye.